Rejecting tyranny and socialism isn't racism or hatred. It's your duty as an American, from New Hampshire to around the world. It's your host, Keith Hansen.
Listening to the Keith Hansen Show. It's great to be with you on this Tuesday evening. I'm Karen Cataline, and I'm delighted to be filling in once again for Keith Hansen, who's taking a couple of well-deserved days off. He doesn't take too many days off, so I'm glad I can contribute to his short vacation. The Keith Hansen Show is powered by the Hagmann Report and airing on the Global Star Radio Network. It is indeed Tuesday, August 11th, 2020, and the Keith Hansen Show can be heard every weekend night. Weeknight from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Global Star Radio Network and its affiliates. You can visit Keith Hansen at thekeithhansenshow.com or the Hagmann Report live.com to listen to the show live or stream it on demand. You can also check out the YouTube archive of the programs. Well, just simply perform a YouTube search of the Keith Hansen Show, or you can download the program as a podcast through your favorite podcast app like iTunes or Spreaker. And Keith would want me to let you know that he can be emailed, and he loves emails, as do I. I'll give you my email later on in the program. He can be emailed at keithontheair@gmail.com. That's keithontheair@gmail.com. Good, bad, indifferent, he loves them all. And you can also find him on Twitter and Parler. His handle is @RealKeithHansen. Well, and I'm Karen Cataline, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser. And usually I don't chase the news cycle. I mean, sometimes it seems as if Democrats are constantly goading us to talk about whatever they want us to talk about. So I sometimes just don't bite. This time I'm going to bite because today Joe Biden or Hayden Biden announced his VP pick. I can't say that it was so, anxiously awaited. I think people were interested simply because this is a VP pick who could very well rise to the presidency sooner rather than later. Tooey, tooey, tooey. May it never happen that the Democrats gain power because they march in lockstep. Frankly, it wasn't going to matter who he chose in the sense that Joe Biden would be answering to the leftists, to the left who controls the Democrat Party, including AOC and all the rest. Excuse me, and Bernie Sanders and the hard left that is rioting in the streets with BLM and Antifa. You know, to say that they're more radical than the Democrats is really hard to say because they've been enabling them. But if you don't know already, Kamala Harris is the announced pick for Joe Biden. They're doing the Democrat convention next week. God only knows what the convention is going to look like in the face of coronavirus or the coronavirus that they've turned it into, shall we say. Excuse me. So the Democrat National Convention, which will probably be online like everything else. We live online and live in our houses and go to work from our houses and do everything in our houses. And it should be interesting. And then the Republicans are the week after next. So the cat is out of the bag, or the Kamala Harris is out of the bag. And so I'm going to do a little bit of commenting. And then I've got to tell you that we have a wonderful guest in this hour. We're going to have Rabbi Daniel Lappin from Seattle. He may just have a few comments. Usually he hails from the Northwest. Don't know where he'll be talking to us from. But Rabbi Daniel Lappin is somebody that I have quoted for years, because he has one of the great all-time lines, although I don't think we're going to be talking about, why are Jews so liberal? I get that all the time. If I had a nickel for every time someone said to me, why are Jews so liberal? So we're not going to talk about that, but I will tell you his quote, which pretty well says it. He is an unusual rabbi conservative. Actually, there are more than you think. They're just not very outspoken about it. Unfortunately, Jewish liberals are extremely outspoken about it. So Rabbi Daniel Lappin is quoted as saying, the very fact that 78% of Jews vote Democrat is proof positive that the myth of Jewish higher intelligence is purely a myth. And I usually always get a laugh after that, and I always credit Rabbi Daniel Lappin. So we'll have him a little later in the program, and I can't wait, because I've never had the chance to interview him. Getting back to Kamala Harris. Now, I've believed forever that Kamala Harris was being groomed for the presidency for a very, very long time. And she just was awful as a candidate. Let's just be real. That whiny, whiny voice, that holier-than-thou attitude, and even the left didn't really like her, because she's always pointing her finger at you. And she seemed like the perfect candidate, because, after all, the left does nothing more than check the boxes of identity politics. And while she really isn't African-American, her color is darker than some. See, I don't choose presidential candidates based on the color of someone's skin, and I don't think anybody else does on the right usually either. There's several black conservatives, male or female, that I would love to see, because they share my values. But to the left, it really doesn't matter, because it's all about collectivism. It's all about if you, as I said, check certain boxes. And yet, the presidential campaign of Kamala Harris was spectacularly mediocre. Okay. And plus, she went after Joe Biden something fierce. She called him a racist. She all but called him a racist. You can look that up on Google. And she just couldn't really catch fire. And she kept moving further and further to the left. Supposedly, they're now going to reestablish her law and order position, which is nonsense and ridiculous. She's a California liberal Democrat, California so-called progressive, who rolled over on every leftist idea that the hard left was putting out there, from reparations to, oh, the biggie that we're going to see, I promise you, is that illegal immigrants get free health care. How's that working out? I think that will be a part of the campaign, if it ever starts, since it's 90 days before the election. I mean, you know, it used to be elections took 2 years, and we were talking about it for 2 years, and we said, God, we can't stand that the election goes on and on and on. Now the election really hasn't begun. It'll probably begin in earnest. I don't know who Ernest is here, but I don't think Ernest is running. He should. Maybe he'll do a better job. But the election ought to begin in earnest when the Democrats have their convention, whatever that looks like, and the Republicans have their convention, whatever that looks like. I suspect Donald Trump will probably have a fair number of surprises, because he's a showman. And we've always needed that on our side of the aisle. We haven't had much of that. We really haven't. And so I'm looking forward to actually both of them. I might have to put my bite guard in because I'll be grinding my teeth. And so there you go. So I have a couple of other thoughts. The Sanctuary City stuff is going to come back to bite Kamala Harris. But I think the thing that will probably bite her the most is just that she's unlikable. She has this very whiny, school-marmy kind of pointing her finger at you. And if she didn't catch fire with the left, where she checks all the boxes, except I was getting ready to say she's not really African. I mean, she's darker skin, but who cares? She's Jamaican and Indian, but I guess you could call her still a minority. On the right, we don't care about that. What we care about, what I hope and I think we care about, is her ideas. And her ideas are the same hard left, so-called progressive, when it's really regressive, big government, putting elevating criminals and turning law-abiding citizens into criminals. She's extremely anti-gun, anti-Second Amendment. We've seen that. She's been absolutely outspoken about it. And remember, I think it's interesting that the left went after Tulsi Gabbard. The left hated her. Remember when Hillary Clinton went after Tulsi Gabbard, which is kind of interesting? They said that she was a Russian agent. I think that's because Kamala Harris was being groomed to be a president until her campaign fell apart. And so I pulled this out, and here you go. Here's Tulsi Gabbard in one of her best moments in the early debates before we all fell prey to the hysteria over coronavirus. There actually was an enormous debate, and tons of candidates came and went, and one of them was Kamala Harris at the hands of Tulsi Gabbard. Listen to this.
I want to bring the conversation back to the broken criminal justice system that is disproportionately negatively impacting Black and brown people all across this country today. Now, Senator Harris says she's proud of her record as a prosecutor and that she'll be a prosecutor president, but I'm deeply concerned about this record. There are too many examples to cite, but she put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations and then laughed about it when she was asked if she ever smoked marijuana. She blocked evidence that would have freed an innocent man from death row until the courts forced her to do so. She kept people in prison beyond their sentences to use them as cheap labor for the state of California. And she fought to keep cash bail system in place that impacts poor people in the worst kind of way.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Senator Harris, your response.
We're not going to talk. Maybe we'll get back to Kamala Harris's response. What was interesting is they wanted to shut her up, I think. I don't know if she was out of time. But let's listen to Kamala answer Tulsi Gabbard. You really have to see the visual here, because the visual is this astonishment. I think this was the first time she was ever attacked on national television at all. Here we go.
As the elected Attorney General of California, I did the work of significantly reforming the criminal justice system of a state of 40 million people, which became a national model for the work that needs to be done. And I am proud of that work. And I am proud of making a decision to not just give fancy speeches or be in a legislative body and give speeches on the floor, but actually doing the work of being in the position to use the power that I had to reform a system that is badly in need of reform. That is why we created initiatives that were about reentering former offenders and getting them counseling. It is why, and because I know that criminal justice system is so broken, that I am an advocate for what
Thank
we need
Senator.
To do to not
your
only decriminalize, but legalize marijuana in the United States.
I want to bring Congresswoman Gabbard.
Okay, so this is great. Did you hear that whiny voice? I hate to be superficial here, but do you really want to hear that whiny voice very much more? There is this sort of nasally looking down her nose, if I dare say that. Let's hear. We have about maybe another minute of this audio that I want to play for you. Let's hear what Tulsi said. She was great in this. This was probably her best moment in her run for president.
Back in, your response.
The bottom line is, Senator Harris, when you were in a position to make a difference and an impact in these people's lives, you did not. And worse yet, in the case of those who were on death row, innocent people, you actually blocked evidence from being revealed that would have freed them until you were forced to do so. There is no excuse for that. And the people who suffered under your reign as prosecutor, you owe them an apology.
Whoa.
Senator Harris.
Let's hear her response, and then we'll be done.
My entire career, I have been opposed, personally opposed to the death penalty, and that has never changed. And I dare anybody who is in a position to make that decision, to face the people I have faced, to say, I will not seek the death penalty. That is my background. That is my work. I am proud of it. I think you can judge people by when they are under fire, and it's not about some fancy opinion on a stage, but when they're in the position to actually make a decision, what do they do? When I was in the position of having to decide whether or not to seek a death penalty on cases I prosecuted, I made a very difficult decision that was not popular to not seek the death penalty. History shows that, and I am proud of those decisions.
Senator Harris, thank you very much.
Well, that's very interesting. I think the audience was on Tulsi's side for that. And she kind of sidestepped the question there, but I thought it was fascinating, the righteous, the sort of faux righteous indignation. And for those of us who never really liked any of the candidates on the left from an ideological standpoint, I thought Kamala Harris was singularly unimpressive as a candidate. I think they chose her because, they can claim that she's black. And they're desperate to get the black vote back. My goodness, if the black vote hits anywhere near the amount of approval that Trump's rating is right now, I think it's over. You can stick a fork in it. But we should run and help Donald Trump as if he's 10, 15 points behind. So those are my thoughts on Kamala Harris. I think you're going to see the Trump administration come out swinging on not only Kamala Harris, but in general. I also think that the left is going to vote for her no matter what, no matter how much they don't like her on Law and Order, and they'll wink and say, see, they're going to tell her that she'll be tough on crime and be a Law and Order candidate. Nothing could be further from the truth. She's not going to be a Law and Order candidate, as none of the left will be a Law and Order candidate, because they've been inciting violence in every one of our cities. And I think that is, they're calling it the silent majority, but I do hope that the majority gets extremely loud, because it's painfully apparent just how anti-law and order the left is. And I think Trump is the one to do it. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we will have Rabbi Daniel Lappin. Can't wait to hear from him. You're listening to the Keith Hansen Show here on the Hagmann Report and airing on the Global Star Radio Network. Thank you so much for listening. We have way more to come, so stay tuned.
This is Tom Cuddy, your morning sports reporter, and this might work for you. You hear the headlines, you know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums skyrocketed. In most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows us to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. If you've changed jobs, if you're having a baby, if you're getting married, getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed. This law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the health insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help us learn how to qualify for lower health insurance rates. Call right now to learn more. 800-605-1679. 800-605-1679. Paid for by Go Health. 800-605-1679.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
My next guest is somebody that I have been really looking forward to speaking with. He is a force to be reckoned with. His name is Dennis Michael Lynch. He was raised in a blue-collar suburb of Long Island called Hicksville after graduating high school, and he went on to go to John Jay College, criminal justice of the in New York City, and according to Lynch, he left college to become an entrepreneur, but he is a guy that makes movies and also breaks news. Welcome so much. So good to have you, Dennis Michael Lynch.
Thanks for having me, Karen. I appreciate it.
It's great. Now, here's the reason I found you. I apologize for not having known about you sooner, but somebody sent me a video of you interviewing the undercover Epicenter nurse. And I said, not only do I have to have the undercover Epicenter nurse, I want to interview the guy who interviewed her first. So, and that's the reason that I decided to have you on. First off, for people who don't know, tell us a little bit about your multi-ranged background. Just very quickly, I was charmed by the little bit of marketing that you gave to Aaron, the author of this new book coming out, because obviously you are committed to having her tell her story.
Well, I mean, the two questions in one there. I mean, just
sure.
You want me to tell you how I got to where I am today?
A little bit. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about how you got this huge following and people hang on your news stories. They really do.
I appreciate it. Yeah. So basically, I was a entrepreneur, as you had read out, still am today. But I lived the tragic day of 9/11. I'm one of the people you saw running from the buildings. So that changed my life in the way that I, at the time, I was partners with the CEO, the former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, John Sculley. So it was a really great position I had as a consultant. We were doing great, great business in Manhattan. But after that day, I had seen all that death, and that is really a day that changed my life in the way that I just gave up business. I had been an entrepreneur for so many years, and I just gave it all up, and I went to film school at 30 to 31 years old. And the reason being is I always dreamt of being a filmmaker. I always dreamt of being a baseball player. And at the time, the New York Yankees had Derek Jeter. They didn't need me. So I went down the film side of things and wasn't looking to do documentaries about politics or news or anything of that nature. I actually started doing stuff that would be more pop culture, if you will. But I ran into a guy who was standing on the corner of 7-Eleven, and he was holding a sign that said deport illegals. And I thought, what is that? I didn't know what an illegal was. So I pulled over, and he explained to me how the 200 Latino men standing on the corner were all in the country illegally. They were illegal workers, and they had displaced him from his job. So I decided to make a documentary about him and the border and how this was all happening. And that sort of kicked off my career in this direction because Fox News got wind of it, put me on. And then I was a regular on Fox News for pretty much about 7 years. I was people would see me about once or twice a week with Megyn Kelly. And I've been on all the shows, Fox and Friends, you name it. Uh-huh. And then along the way, I just wound up getting more into news and politics. And I've got an unbelievable passion for all sort of things like policies about immigration and healthcare and stuff of that nature. And then to get to the point of where we are today, I had my own show on Newsmax TV. It was the number one television show that Newsmax ever had. And I wound up getting pulled off the air 3 months prior to the election in August because I was going hard against Hillary Clinton. And the owner of Newsmax is a 7-0. He's a $1 million donor to the Clinton Foundation. So that didn't go over well.
Yeah.
He disconnected his biggest show. And I started a thing on Facebook called the Walk and Talk. It was just a way for me to meet people that had seen my shows and had seen me on Fox News, but now no longer had anywhere to get me. And then I started doing that, and lo and behold, that has turned into a thing we call Team DML at teamdml.com, and that's where you got that video shared because I interviewed that nurse, and I played it also on Facebook. And so today, I run two companies. I run a media company that makes films and news, like you said, and I also have I'm in the CBD business. We have one of the biggest CBD companies in the country. So those two things there is where I'm at.
Well, Dennis, let's slow down a little bit because, you know, I was so nervous. I thought, my goodness, it took me a long time to get this man. And so I was all over the place. But it's fascinating when you sort of fall into or love talk radio and find that everything that you've done in your life adds to what you do as a talk show host. Clearly, you have tremendous marketing skills because you were able to parlay your experience into something so successful. You now have 1,500,000 total followers on social media and 100,000 downloads of the DML News app. So you're in the position to be able to really publicize this bombshell book coming out by Aaron Oleseski called The Undercover Epicenter Nurse. So tell us a little bit about this, because while I certainly want to interview her, I want to direct people to your YouTube video where she has a whole hour with you talking about exactly this book, plus it's coming out in, I don't know, about a week to 10 days.
Yeah, I mean, she contacted us and said that she was a longtime follower of me on Facebook, going back to those walk and talks prior to 2016. We had, when I was doing those videos on Facebook, they had over 100 million views from August to leading up to election. So, I mean, I wound up getting an email from the Trump Organization saying, thank you for all your help. And, you know, a lot of people said that we were very influential in moving independent voters towards Trump, and I had I could write a book just on the emails.
You should. Yeah, plus, I hope you do that for 2020, because we need it.
I mean, the thing is that I received so many emails from people who said they weren't going to vote for Trump, but after listening to me and my walk and talks and stuff of that nature, that I influenced them to do that. Now parlay that into where we are today. I don't do a lot of Facebook as much as I used to. And it is rare when you will ever see me put a video on YouTube or Facebook that I did on teamdml.com, because that's a membership-based thing. But I said, I have to get this message out. So this woman wrote this book, as you said, Erin, wrote this book. She told me about it in an email. I said, I have to get her on there. And, you know, between Facebook and between all this stuff, it will wind up going where millions of people wind up hearing the video eventually. And what she reveals is troubling. And what she reveals in her book is troubling, and that is that in the very beginning of COVID, when New York was hit and hit hard, that everything was done wrong. Nurses were coming in from around the country. They were being asked to come in. They were sitting around for days without anything to do. And then they get stuck into these hospitals, the epicenter of the epicenter, if you will, in Elmhurst. And she's going in and she's seeing people being put on ventilators that shouldn't be put on ventilators. She's seen people being marked off as COVID death when they had no COVID at all, or they had COVID as a...
Or they were put into a COVID unit before they were found to be positive and then became positive.
So she goes down the gamut of all that, but you said and I said and more. And I think that, you know, so I go back. I'm not in the business. I don't try to sell other people's books. In fact, I rarely ever interview anybody like you're interviewing me or I interviewed her. I just do my podcast every day by myself. But I wanted to be influential in getting her book sold, because not that I want to line her pockets, although she has every right to make herself as much money as she wants.
Sure does.
To do with her life. Right. I'm not one of those people. Mm-hmm. But she needs to be heard. Because people have to understand what's really going on with this COVID nightmare.
Yeah.
And I don't mean from a health perspective or a mask perspective. I mean from the truth being told. What we're not getting the truth. We're getting this crazy narrative that's directing this country into the abyss. So I wanted to get her as much attention as I could possibly get. So this way there's two sides to this story instead of just the one.
So I want to get your perspective because, you know, hopefully I'll get her on. And you made a point of telling her how she can keep it short and sweet so people can find the book. And I'll give her a plug right now. The Undercover Epicenter Nurse. Just look for Erin, The Undercover Epicenter Nurse. But another thing that I want to get your perspective on, we're talking to Dennis Michael Lynch, DML, DML News, is this. I have a very checkered past. I was a social worker. I went to Columbia School of Social Work, among other things. And I find one of the things that we have trouble persuading people about is that emotionally, it's too hard to get your brain around the possibility that people we elected, people that we asked to represent us, do not have our best interests at heart. So how do you break through that kind of denial? And well, I'll ask the next question. I'm famous for multi-questions here with you. So let's talk about that a little bit, because what it represents, what the implications of what we're talking about here are devastating.
Well, I think you could almost put this into verticals, because I've never seen anything in my 51 years where you have so many different interest groups all looking for the same thing to happen, but for completely different reasons why. So in one vertical, you've got the people who want Trump gone, and they want him gone, and they knew prior to COVID that he was gonna run a second Reagan term, or that second election where Reagan just took almost the entire country. Trump would have taken the entire country. And the reason why he would have taken the whole country is because people, by and large, vote with their wallets. So when they vote with their wallets, they want to have more money. They want to have more. They want to have less taxes. They want to have smaller government. Whether they recognize it or not, that's what they want, because they want more money. And that's one of the ways you get more money: higher wages, less taxes. So, and for some people, to get a job. So Trump checked each one of those boxes significantly. And when he would have had a runaway train election, now COVID-19 comes in. And COVID-19, as far as I'm concerned, has been the overscare, if you will, has been so tremendous. I can't believe people fall for it. I can't believe they fall for
me
it.
Me neither, Dennis.
It's a conversation of itself.
Yes, it is.
Going past to the verticals. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if people vote for their wallet, with their wallet, then Trump is in trouble right now, because the country has been shut down. We were told 2 weeks we were asked if we could hunker down. Now it's been 6-7 months. And still you got people getting arrested or getting fines for going to the beach with a mask on. I mean, it's, you know, if you don't have a mask on or if you don't social distance.
Yeah, but it's pretty clear, Dennis, who's responsible for that. Democratic governors and unelected bureaucrats, you know.
Look, you can take it even in my town. You know, I'm a conservative living in a Democrat run, you know, town here of, you know, out here on the east end of Long Island.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, if they don't have 700 signs all around me telling me to wear a mask if I can't get 6 feet. So there's a few things. There's the people who don't want Trump. All right. Mm-hmm. There are people who just love the idea of making it an equal playing field for everybody. Hey, wear a mask and, you know, everybody's the same and you're following our rule. I mean, so it's the people who are somewhat radically charged in government. And then, of course, it comes down to the almighty scientists. You know, people like Dr. Fauci, I don't understand how he got himself being, like, you know, praised as the next coming of Jesus. Like, this guy walks on water. He makes more mistakes than anybody I've ever seen in that kind of position. He doesn't see patients. He is a lab rat chaser. And we have anointed this guy. I mean, he's basically dictating the way the world turns at this mm-hmm. point. You know, so I see this. You want to know what it is with him? He's got relevance. He's got power. He's drunk on his own power. He's in front of Congress. He's in front of the Senate. He's in front of the president. He's in front of the press. Everybody wants to know who he is. Everybody wants to know what he's saying. He is the nation's renowned expert. Yeah, by who?
Yeah, but I look a lot of the connections between all of these people and what they have to win or lose by marching in lockstep. I mean, we have a radical governor in Colorado, where I am, northern Colorado. And as smart as he is and as much money as he has, he's not doing this in a vacuum. None of these Democrat governors are doing it in a vacuum, and neither is Anthony Fauci. These people are using this as an opportunity to impose socialism, communism 101 on this country. And I know you don't disagree with that, or do you?
I don't know if it's, let alone, I don't know if I would go as deep as communism. I just think that, I think that somebody like Dr. Fauci really loves to hear himself, and I think he wants to be relevant. And I think a lot of these Democrats, I think it's a double-edged sword. In one case, they want to stab the hell out of Trump and get rid of him. And they see that every time they do something radical and President Trump reacts to it, they're going to get more out of him, and they get themselves in headlines. That's the second part of it. They want themselves to be the person who's talked about on all the news outlets. They all want to be the next president, and they get, so it takes it all. It's the power that they get, and it's the challenge that they give Trump that I think fuels the hell out of them. I mean, if you look at Anthony Fauci alone, don't wear a mask, then wear a mask.
Yeah, but
something big. Everybody's got to hunker down.
The mask is the dividing line, as far as I'm concerned, and we could go down a rabbit hole, rabbit path. You and me talking about it, because it affords them everything they want to collectivize us, to make us look, act, and sound and behave alike. I think it is sinister as hell, personally.
Did you see President Trump's latest tweet? He says the new book Blitz is hot and urges you to read it. Trump calls David Horowitz a great author. Get Blitz. It's already a number one Amazon bestseller. In Blitz, David Horowitz warns about Antifa and makes stunning predictions about Trump in the coming months. They will shock you. Blitz also reveals the secret billionaires out to stop Trump. Mike Huckabee says if every American reads this book, Trump will win. Mark Levin says Blitz is indispensable. Get Blitz at bookstores or check out the free offer from Newsmax and save $28. Just call 800-NEWSMAX. That's 800-NEWSMAX or go to blitz411.com. blitz411.com. And don't forget to see David Horowitz on Newsmax TV all this week. Newsmax is America's fastest-growing cable channel. Now on DirecTV, Xfinity, Dish, Spectrum, Optimum, Cox, Fios, UVerse, Suddenlink, Mediacom, Wow, and more. Just check your cable guide. And get Blitz today at bookstores or 800-NEWSMAX.
The coronavirus has affected the African-American community in many ways, including a drastic drop in blood donations. This is the time to take care of one another. And blood transfusions from healthy African-American donors can be a life-saving treatment for patients with sickle cell disease or cancer. The American Red Cross adheres to the highest standards of safety and infection control and urges you to come out to donate. Please, make an appointment today at redcrossblood.org.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance. And MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month, but you might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by July 31st, and you'll save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have, and start saving. Here it is. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
We're talking to Dennis Michael Lynch here, and he is a media star, I'm telling you, and I'm only getting started, but we only have a limited amount of time with him. So we're going to go back, if you would be so kind, Dennis, to talk about how people get their brain around something so sinister as Aaron's story, for example. Because if we go too far and too, 40,000 feet kind of thing, then we could talk for about 4 hours and I would enjoy it, I'm sure. But to present Aaron's story as a nurse who was an undercover epicenter nurse, and clearly there's a incentive for people to increase the fear around coronavirus, but a lot of people aren't putting those things together, maybe like you and I are. So how do you get through the denial of people realizing that maybe these people do not have our best interests at heart? Maybe there's something truly awful and terrible and diabolical going on here.
Unfortunately, people never, they never jump. The people that you're sort of describing, until it happens to them, you're not going to convince them of anything. I'll give you a prime example.
Okay.
To get away from COVID for 1 second and something else I have incredible education on.
Uh-huh.
So I explained to you, I started getting into film about illegal immigration, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I knew nothing about illegal immigration before I started. And now I've made 4 films on it, by the way. And people want to see it. They can go to Amazon and see it for free on Amazon Prime. My latest one, They Come to America 4, is there. And when you watch that, when you see that, if you take a visual and I stick that visual right in front of somebody like you're describing, the people who are in denial, and I let them see that people are digging under the fence and they're coming in and they're doing, and they still won't care.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say, nope. They're coming in for a better life. They're coming in. We should let them in. But let me tell you what happens, Karen. You take it where that person comes in and kills somebody in their family in a DWI or what, in a robbery or whatever it may be. All of a sudden now, they believe in secure borders. It's not until it happens to them that they turn around and say, okay, I'm with you on this. So the only people I think personally who used to be hardcore Democrat, wouldn't listen to anything that somebody on the right had to say, I have seen that switch in only one set of people. The people who have businesses, who even though they were Democrats, they have businesses or whatever it is, and they have been affected. Their restaurants aren't open and full. Their gyms are closed.
Mm-hmm.
People can't come into their stores in massive numbers. Now, all of a sudden, you hear those same people screaming at Governor Cuomo, where I live in New York,
mm-hmm.
screaming at him. Where 3 months before COVID, if I would have ran into them, they would have had something that said, you know, Cuomo 2024 or, you know, Trump sucks. Now, all of a sudden, it flips the switch. So it's not until they feel it directly that you could get somebody like that to change.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like one of my favorite movies, The Godfather. It's not personal, Sonny. It's strictly business. In reverse, it's personal. You have to make the argument from a personal perspective. And that seems to be an argument that is being made. Do you agree?
I guess I would say I agree. I think there is a media push at a level that we've never seen it before, and
mm-hmm.
I think that is what's really causing all of this. If I may just insert that, I think between the mainstream media, places like the New York Times, all the different online social media platforms that are holding back on conservatives and pushing the liberal narrative as much as they possibly can. I mean, you know, the president's getting his videos taken down because he said that kids are like almost immune. You know, that's the way the president talks. He talks in that sort of hyperbole, you know, metaphoric sort of way, and they're going to rip it down.
Yeah, but they look for any excuse. This is the old Soviet Union, my friend. And they're looking for any excuse.
You've got doctors
yep.
who have put out videos saying how dangerous it is for some people to wear a mask, how social distancing isn't the answer. And what happens? These doctors who are medical professionals get ripped down by some clown at Facebook.
Right.
I don't understand how that works. So what that translates, though, to, and here's the dangerous thing, is that the people out there are only getting one message. And I had a woman the other day, because I don't wear a mask.
And neither do I.
Good. And a woman the other day gave me like the side eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I just looked at her back and I said, why do you care mm-hmm. if I wear a mask or not, if your mask is protecting you so much?
Yes.
Because if you're, If your mask is protecting you, I should be able to sneeze 7 feet away from you.
And the left has given them propaganda to answer that question, Dennis. They say, my mask protects you from me and your mask protects me from you. And nothing among so many things in 2020 is more preposterous and stupid. Number one, the mask does not protect them as they believe, but it is creating a virus of tyranny, that's for sure. So I applaud you enormously because I've been all over this. I've written pieces in Western Journal about it, and I will continue to write about it. This is the step one in subjugation. Go ahead. You got me going there.
Yeah. I mean, look, if you say you want a secure border, and you explain why you want a secure border, and all those explanations make a lot of sense. It drags down wages. There's terrorists, you know, that also come across the border. We got people not just from Latin America, but from the Middle East coming in. We've caught them. You can go down every single reason why somebody shouldn't be able to cross over our border. And the answer they'll give you back is you're a racist. And the reason why they say you're a racist is because they can't argue those points. And that's what the mask is to me. So you said that the left has creatively created it is a shame moment. I'm here being responsible because I care about your health. You should be responsible and put your mask on because you care about me.
And let me tell you a few other ones as we have to wrap up, unfortunately, because both of us have other things we have to do. Boy, I want to talk to you again for sure. And that is, everything in this upside down world is changing reality. So now those who don't wear masks are telegraphing to the world that they're the criminals, and people who wear masks and can't be identified when they burn down buildings like Antifa are now the law abiders. This is the kind of upside down thinking that is being imposed on this country. And there's too few people like you and me who are standing up with civil disobedience and saying, no, not doing it.
I'll add something to that. I want to go back.
Please
to the immediate part of it. I don't know if I necessarily, I know what the point you're making. So I don't know if I necessarily totally agree with you on one part. I think there's a lot of people like you and me. I think there's a ton of us. Here's the difference. There aren't enough people like you and me who are being given the microphone or the typewriter, if you want to date myself back.
I'm older than you, Dennis, so don't do that.
or the keyboard. Uh-huh. So your message and my message are labeled as radical. We get limited.
Right.
And then you get these other messages from these fringe elements that are going through and looting and poisoning, as far as I'm concerned, every city that there is.
Without a doubt.
These people are getting the message out because they're being covered. They're being covered.
Not only that, but the people that don't have a microphone like you and me are being bullied with their licenses like restaurants. There is wholesale coercion going on in this country, something I never thought I'd live to see. I'm glad my father isn't here to see it. May he rest in peace. I apologize greatly. I would love to have you on again. I have to fill in for a major network here, and I wish you so much success. I hope we get a chance to chat again when we both have a little more time. Tell everybody how they can find your YouTube site, and they can turn your followers from 1 million to 5 million.
There you go. So the best way to find me is DennisMichaelLynch.com or TeamDML.com. That's TeamDML.com. They can find my films on Amazon. Just search my name or They Come to America, and you could see the videos you're talking about or the ones that I'm talking about, the movies or whatever. And then, of course, I have DMLCBD.com.
Right. Dennis Michael Lynch. Look for him. Thanks for all you're doing for us and for the cause of liberty. We all got to do our part, and you are obviously in your zone. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Karen. Bye.
Welcome back to the Keith Hansen Show. I'm your happy fill-in host, Karen Cataline, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser. And you are listening to the Keith Hansen Show, powered by the Hagmann Report and airing on the Global Star Radio Network. How wonderful it is when you find someone who is actually doing something out there. And you know what? This has been my motto. nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. And now, when there are liberty lovers out there realizing that we all share this love of liberty, we want to save this country, I want to highlight people who are coming up with their own ideas. Because after all, ingenuity and creativity is what liberty lovers and conservatives and constitutional lovers are all about. So I'm pleased to have us have an introduction to you of someone named Danny Bristow. And he started a company called The Free Human Being. Welcome to the Keith Hansen Show. And you're with Karen Cataline, Danny Bristow.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me.
Well, thank you, having you too. So tell everybody, first off, what is your product? And then we'll get into how you came up with the idea and why you decided to do it. What is this product or products that you are selling? And you can go ahead and give the website free advertising here.
Excellent. Thank you. The company is called The Free Human Being Project. We sell clothing. We have been, I feel, called upon to support and stand up for small businesses, our natural born freedoms, and our constitutional rights. Mm-hmm. You can find our website, the easiest way to find it. There's two ways to get there, thefreehumanbeingproject.com, or you can get there at tfhbp.com.
Great. And I'm going there now because I remember this. I contacted you and I said, this is cool, because people are coming up with their own ideas, and there's your lovely face on the front page there, and you're wearing a t-shirt that says Free Human Being on it. I love it. Yes, and it comes in colors, and let's see, you have one called Love Your Sisters and Your Brothers. Okay. Free Dumb. How come? Tell us about that one. It says freedom isn't a privilege, it's a right. And it says Free Dumb in giant letters. Why
giant
that
letters,
design?
It's just artistically put together. It's just a shirt that says freedom. And we just chose to make it bold like that and to separate the two words to try to give it some artistic flair.
Great. And there is a lot of artistic flair. There's one just for our audience called Social Media Distancing. I like that one.
Yes.
And
could you get some distance?
Yes. And we are all essential, extremely important. So I'm just going to direct people to go to your website, thefreehumanbeingproject.com. And you've got women's shirts and men's shirts. Tell everybody, you know, how'd you come up with this and what inspired you?
Really what inspired me was at the very beginning of what was going on with coronavirus. And, you know, communities were led to believe that we just needed a couple weeks to flatten this curve, something that we were very unsure of. And then an executive order came out here in Colorado that stated, you know, non-essential businesses needed to shut down. And that really sparked something inside me, because I owned my own business and I felt that I was just as essential as everybody else out there. It's essential for me to continue working, to pay my bills, to provide for my children, to take care of my business, my employees. And so I read the executive order, and in there where it stated that non-essential businesses needed to shut down, it clearly also stated, unless you need to protect your assets. Then there was another section in there that spoke about taking care of your property and your family. And I printed that off. I highlighted those areas and I continued to run my business. Now, I don't have a storefront, so it's not like people were seeing me go to work still, but I still felt that I needed to provide for, you know, my business that I was currently running, which is different than the Free Human Being Project, and to take care of my employees. So I printed that off. I gave that to employees as well. Let them know if you want to continue working at home, you can. We had half staff at the warehouse, half of the staff working from home. And during a day of meditation, it came to me, the Free Human Being Project. I just, because myself, for being a sovereign being, I felt like most human beings could find some common ground that we feel as if we are all important. we're all essential. And to be coined as a non-essential human being just felt wrong to me.
Or your business, or it's essential to you. It's right. Contradictory, an anathema to everything we know in America. Now, do you happen to be a conservative by chance?
Now, I don't necessarily claim any political party. I do seem to feel that, you know, lately libertarianism ideals seem to stick with me. But to be honest, I don't claim any kind of party. I look at things in a common sense and logical way. If it makes sense for human beings, it's probably something that we should be doing. If it doesn't make sense, then yeah. You should probably rethink those thoughts and find better solutions to how we can be there for us.
Let me challenge you a little bit.
Sure.
Okay. Among many things, everybody is having something that really touches them down deep to their core in this election cycle of 2020, things we've never seen in America, not just the rioting, the virus, the losing of our rights, going over the line, the camel's back is broken completely to what we know in America. For me, the idea of a government forcing anybody to wear a mask on the very flimsy notion that you're killing grandma if you don't wear a mask, but it's okay for others, but it's okay to use the government as your proxy to force your fellow human beings to do what you want them to do. Hopefully you appreciate, I'm challenging a little bit here, that yes. The very fundamental notion of freedom is that we have to learn to tolerate maybe things we don't like that other people do in order to protect our own freedom. Am I touching you in a place where you kind of agree? I hope
you're definitely touching me in a place that I agree.
Good.
I think we should have freedom of choice. I do not think that we should use a mob rule mentality. I don't think you should force other people, especially with propaganda and fear tactics, to get a certain political result that you're looking for. I am firm on constitutional rights. Now, when I talk about natural born freedoms, I'm talking about, you know, if people want to think about God-given freedoms, God-given rights, but we also have founding documents that can help us stand mm-hmm. up for ourselves, which is huge to me. Mm-hmm. And I think it's something that people have, you know, a lot of people have forgotten. Now, yeah. I know that there are large groups of people out there that have not forgotten these things.
Or maybe they never knew it. Maybe they weren't taught it, or they, you know, this was left out of their education, which is a whole nother topic. I think we are totally on the same page. And guess what? Because we are free human beings, we get to disagree on the little stuff. But unfortunately, I don't have time to go into that. Tell everybody, let's see, your T-shirts are, let's see, I want to look at the women's T-shirts real quickly here. And I think it's important to do this. Instead of wearing a mask, how about wearing a free human being T-shirt and being a leader in your own sphere of influence? That's my new motto. Be a leader in your own sphere of influence. And you clearly are that. You are showing that not only can you change the economics of things. I don't know. What did you do before, real quick?
So before, I was still making apparel, had a company called Making Apparel for Video Game Entertainers. And I've been doing that for 7 years.
Okay, well, I have to let you go. But
no worries.
Tell everybody again how they can get your T-shirts. And I hope you inspire a lot of people to not only be entrepreneurial, but be an entrepreneur for freedom and for liberty.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time
and having
me on and speaking with me. You can find the Free Human Being Project at thefreehumanbeingproject.com. Or if you want to make it simple, you can go to tfhbp.com.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Danny, for joining us. And I hope you make a few bucks on your T-shirts. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Karen.
Take care.
Have a great day.
Well, that is just about all the time that we have for this edition of the Keith Hansen Show. And we're going to have a powwow tomorrow night on the Keith Hansen Show. We're going to have a three-person powwow panel with Gary Jeff Walker from WLW and Lowell Ponte. They're friends for a long time. I know them both, and we're going to have quite a show. At least I hope so. You'll want to stay tuned for that. Karen Cataline filling in for Keith Hansen. That is it. Stick a fork in me. I am done.